depends.
Log Talk Radio.
What's happening, yo? EP is in pain, Kason. And this is another episode in 1 week. And it's me talking. If you look at the title of this, when I posted it, it's called Just a Few of My Stories. I'm also talking to people on camera as well, because I'm Negro, you know, people usually say niggerate. Nigger rig it, but Nigger rigging it. And to see if I can simultaneously film myself talking and have this be like, you know, they do a vlog on air radio show or whatever, and show you guys later. So that's you on camera seeing this mic, and you on camera hearing me. I got a mic on too. Okay, I don't know if it's gonna work, man. Different things. Following my heart and talking about college and really being adamant about having a double major. When I went to school, grade HI, you know, in finding what major that I wanted to pick the person at the time. The head of the department. I told him I wanted to have a double major in mass media since they didn't have a department. He's kind of out of hand. Oh, you can't have double majors. What do you mean? What I want to do? I want to be a filmmaker. And I was going to be a filmmaker and my own movies and be him. Why not? Look like, right? Who would know years later I would meet him? Who would know when I was in class with Robbie Reed? Very successful casting director, Ruth Carter, Oscar-winning costume designer. Who know that when we started school at the great HI, as it was known then, and that all these years later, our careers would develop like this. I'm the underachiever compared to those two. Damn, they did the big things. But we're in school together, same year. Couldn't be prouder of those guys. It would all come to work with like the hate that HBCU connection. You know, I'm talking on Blog Talk Radio. This is kind of the 30th chat. But what I wanted to say is that it has come to my attention. I recently realized that you've got to tell your own story. I've come to realize history, you know, you've heard history is just that his story, but it's everybody's story. You know, somebody tells you about something that happened to them. You have to apply the saying, there are three sides to every story, right? Sides of what really happened. And in doing that, you know, a lot of people, we heard the phrase, speak your truth. There's only one truth, right? I mean, what might be true to some people, consider the context and certain circumstances, it's only one truth. So, everybody speaking their truth, it kind of doesn't make too much sense to me sometimes. But I understand the sentiment, but I think it can be applied across the board in all instances. So, I say that to say that I came to the realization that I had to tell my story. We should all tell your story. Certainly, nowadays, with all this technology we got available to us that we can do, sitting right out of your home or at my kitchen table, then you should take advantage of it. Everybody else, the internet and ways you can contribute your thoughts and ideas. For me, this is something that my mom did. Those of you that are listening on Blog Talk, and I'm also talking to you guys on camera. I usually do my kitchen report. That's you see, or that's my kitchen, obviously, that's the set I use. Double my kitchen as a set. For my little kitchen report, commentaries before I'm trying a little cross promotional type of thing where I'm doing my kitchen report here, Blog Talk here, and I'm thinking about looking seriously about doing a podcast called The Lazy Genius, S-M, a lazy genius. Anybody that knows me would agree. Hey, genius, we all. We all have ideas and things that we thought about that would be brilliant if we just got off our ass and applied ourselves and executed those ideas. And so I think everybody is a genius, lazy genius. And we've all come up with that idea, even though I've heard the saying that there's no, when one human comes up with an idea, not long before somebody, people are coming up with the same ideas or same developments in history or in society. I don't know how true that is. I think I heard that somewhere. So this is me speaking. If I say my truth, I'm just going to seem like I'm full of shit because I just went on talking about my truth. This is my story. How about that? So, in speaking, I mentioned Robbie Reed and Ruth Carter, my classmates at the great HI, which is now HU. But Matt, big respect, big up, brothers and sisters, at all HBCUs, and that's where I'm going with this particular connection. With my connection, what started my career was eventually meeting Spike Lee and him being an alumni of Morehouse, but even before that, what led me there was a play about that college called Conan, where we were some frat brothers that were extreme hazers, hazing each other and practical jokes, and it got out of hand, which my character ended up dying at the end of the show. As a matter of fact, it was really a good role in the beginning of my career. I came home after graduating college, and fortunately, my father had his own business, and I could go to work for him and still, a little bit on audition and things like that. And so in doing that, I started meeting people around town here in Jersey and Newark, and eventually landed at a theater called the Theater of Universal Images, TUI, was Newark's kind of professional theater company way back then. And they were an equity house, Act Equity, the stage union. They were kind of approved. It was a small theater. So, but they often had people. John Amos performed there. Antonio Fargas, same actress that you probably know. So that was where I got the first job, first real professional job. And that I met a lot of people. Antonio Fargas became friends with him. They used to watch on TV, and now you work with them. It was really cool to know him, and he helped my family. And I met some other brothers, a brother named Jerome Preston Bates, great actor, brother Noble Lee Lester, great actor, director. And in doing play together, Noble actor was replacing someone that had left the show, another good, great actor, brother who's since passed on by the name of Leonard Williams. And he was a brother. And he left the show. Noble came in and took his place. And the three of us started talking about black colleges after finding out Jerome, I think, University of Knoxville, Tennessee, or whatever colleges, forget Jerome and all of you that are at college. Noble and Howard, and went to Hampton. So we all, we have HBCUs. So we became good friends, and Noble had a play that him and friends were producing, and he wanted us to be involved. And so I went over, talked to him, met the brothers, met a boy named Gerard Brown and Don Canadero, and a number of other brothers, Greg Holtz, Timothy Simonson, and they were doing this show called Gentlemen, written by Gerard Brown, who was a graduate of Howard, Greg Holtz, senior. I believe you're senior now. Graduate of Howard, and it was about, you know, black college and fraternity and stuff. And it was a really cool role for me to have in the show. And that was, led to other things. I led to meeting Spike, who was going to NYU Film School, at Ernest Dickerson there, who good friends with Gerard at Howard. That's where they knew each other from, both from Jersey. Now, Ernest Dickerson comes to find out that our families from Jersey, from New York originally, that our families are so close that, I've seen his aunt, I knew his mother before I actually knew him, and I referred to her as, aunt, and I came to find out that our families were that close. So it was really kind of, you know, connected, few degrees, 6 degrees of separation type of thing. And that's how my relationship with Spike and Ernest directed Juice. The movie Juice was actually written by Gerard Brown and Ernest Dickerson. And so it was a weird, but a pleasantly weird kind of 6 degrees of separation, really. And so that's what started. But it was all based around, it all seemed to come out of our HBCU connection, how we were able to relate to each other in that. Because if I had gone to an HBCU, and Noel and I, we wouldn't have related to that level to us. And obviously never been that level would have led me meetically. I always have my experience at my black college anyway, even without all of that. Very unique experience of black people graduating from college, wanting to be entertainment business actors and actresses, directors, writers. It was meeting those people and understanding lineage. Once you get to New York and all the actors that you would meet along the way, like Sam Jackson, worked with in school days. When I first met him, but I had seen him in movies, saw him in Ragtime, and so many people that that some were even answers on tests that I took in college. Richard Wesley, who wrote Up on Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again, and a number of great plays, The Mighty Dents, 10th to 10th, Autumn. And come to find out, he's from New York too, like myself, Ernest. And so these people that were doing the things that I wanted to do lifelong and the dreams that I had really was inspiration. From that perspective, someone really inspired me, and who was an answer on a test I took, whose name was an answer on a test I took, and inspired me to let me know that this guy from my hometown could, you know, achieve things in this business. He was a playwright, accomplished, one of the culture shifting or affecting playwrights, Leroy Jones, Amiri Baraka, who happened to grow up with my uncle and my father, was, I believe, on the track team in high school, father. And so when knowing that this man was the acquaintance of my dad, my uncle, as they were all being involved in civil rights and black rights and the movement and the civil rights era and pre uprising in Newark, some people call them the riots to the late 60s. But I kind of felt like, wow, this is my father. I've heard my father talk about this, my mother and father, his leadership in the community. And here he is in answering the test. He's also someone that into something that I want to get into. And here he's an answer on test. And my senior year of college, I went to do my thesis. My father was able to arrange an interview. to Barack. And it was really cool. had already worked with Spike Lee. No, I hadn't worked with Spike Lee yet. But later on, you know, I would work with Spike, and he would have his, we would have talks, Mr. Barack and I, and he would give me his thoughts about some of the work. But it was really an incredible thing, but all this around the HBCU experience, and to come out of that kind of a program, educational emphasis in the Black perspective, and to be able to be around, exposed to, and from the same areas of as some people who have achieved a considerable amount of success in you know, film, TV plays, and entertainment, was really encouraging to me, basically, is what I'm saying. To this day, I'm fortunate enough to be able to be friendly with Richard West and talk to him all the time and listen, just listen, you know, to the brilliance that he shares with me. The stories, you know, really into the history of acting and Hollywood and things like that, certainly into the history that Black people played, and the more I think about it. So, you know, anytime I get a chance to sit with him and hear stories and talk to him about things and get his pick his brain about what he thinks about certain issues, I take advantage of that. And that HBCU connection is real strong. So, I played Donnie at the Public Theater in New York City. Before that, when we all met and started doing it, it was a bunch of, you know, Gerard Brown, Noble Lee was the director at the time, and Gerard was the writer, and a bunch of actors that nobody was in Equity, I don't think. Just some good brothers and good people. We were working, and we put this play down. I mean, there were myself, Greg Hulse. Maybe that was it. Maybe we were only two that were went to Black colleges. So we brought flavor, and of course, everybody else involved in it was. So we brought that flavor, and we became very tight. And so the show ran, played Joan and ran like, what, 82, 83? We did it off Broadway. And at the American Theater for Actors, I believe, in Midtown Manhattan, in the 50s, near 8th Avenue. And we did play. And it was getting a lot of heat, a lot of people showing interest. And what happened is that Joe Papp called into this play. There was a young brother who was working at the Public Theater who had gone to Hat, I believe. And he knew Gerard, the playwright, or some of the people, and they got this guy to come to the show and reached out to him. He came to the show. Joe Papp and his wife as a potential theater piece to come down and perform at the Public Theater. And so Joe Papp's wife comes, Gail, at the time, and she really liked the show. And I guess he gave rave reviews to Joe Papp because he came to see the play. Apparently, he had just gotten back from a long trip, gotten off a plane, and needed to come see the play. So it's really impressive to have one of the fathers of off-Broadway theater, or certainly a man who had a really huge impression of theater in New York, Joseph Papp, and New York Shakespeare Company in the Public Theater. That was the credit. And so they decided to do the play, right? And they said, you know, we were all excited about that, and that opportunity. And when you get opportunities like that, it's also to be validated, right? We were kind of validated that the work we were doing was good enough to be on the professional level, certainly. And also, when they said we want to take the play and these are some people, actors, we want to stay in the show. We want to definitely stay in the show, and we'll cast for other roles or maybe keep the same people. And I just happened to be one of the three that said should definitely be kept with the show. And that, at that time, you know, shoot, Joe Papp in the Public Theater comes to a play that you're in, and they say they want to take the show off Broadway at the Public Theater, and you're one of the people that want to keep with the show. That's pretty encouraging. That was encouraging for me. Not to mention during that time at Spike Lee, which is a whole nother story. But I have a little bit more time on the on my podcast. But guys over here, I'm going to right now on camera because I've been doing this for about 20 minutes and I don't know how much time I got on my phone that I'm shooting this with. So you'll have to tune in another time to hear part two of this story. People on Blog Talk are going to get about another 8 minutes full. All right, Kitchen Report people, I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully this turns out in my MacGyver-ness has worked. All right, peace. Blog Talk, you on, right? And like I said, I want you guys to look out for Lazy Genius. That's going to be a podcast that I'm going to do. That's going to talk about a lot more of a broad subject and different things. But it's late. I am. And we did a show last night. This is early Thursday morning. So I'm getting off track here. Sorry, guys. But just as an aside, you guys, I figured I would. I get an hour a day with the program I'm under on Blog Talk Radio. Right? Anybody wants to do their own little broadcast, you should check it out. So I get an hour a day, and all the time, even when my mom was alive, we were doing the show. With the the rate we're paying, get an hour of airtime that you can produce a show and talk to you. It'll talk an hour a day. So up until that point, we were only using 1 hour a week. So I said, why not? And there's things that's on my mind, things that's on your mind, and maybe our minds could come together and talk about them. So at the end of that little aside, let me get back to the stuff we were talking about. Joe Papp chooses me, one of the people, come to the show. Unfortunately, everybody else was able to come except for one or two people that cast new actors. And one of the new actors that they cast and once went to the public was an actor named Eric LaSalle. And people are probably familiar with Eric by now with his work on ER, the television series, the medical drama series back in the day on NBC ER. But most important, probably a lot more people, I wonder if I remember him from America, the original, where he played the boyfriend of a love interest, Daryl, the Jerry Curl King, heir to the Jerry Curl Empire. So Eric LaSalle came and joined the show of Joe and him. And John Terrell, people probably remember John Terrell, She's Gotta Have It, played the model character, the one who was very caught up into himself. So we do this play down at the Public in New York. It did really well. And at that point, we were able to get our equity card. We had to go through it. Seemed like one last hurdle. Joe wanted us to come down, and we did a reading at the Public Theater of Peace. At that time, I think maybe, I don't know if Guy Davis, Ozzy Davis and Ruby D's son, Guy Davis, good brother, the Coco Kid, you might know us now. But I don't know if he did the reading with us, because at one time it was talk, it was potential he was going to be in the show, and it was really going to be fire. But it was fire anyway, but the reading that we did, just how we were vibing, it was really cool. A lot of people, I know a guy from Street, if you're my age, if you're a hip-hop head or a rap fan, you know Guy played Kenny DJ the lead in Street. One of the original hip-hop movies, rap movies. So, and not to mention the lineage from which he was born from. Sorry, I got a little, I'm sorry, I forgot about that, guys. A little fly flying around my butt, flying around my house, man. Can't have that. But anyway, and then Joe has come to his office, and we all sit down, and he bottles of champagne, and he tells us, yeah, we're going to do the show. It's like, yeah, you know, celebrate. It was really a nice moment, you know, in terms of your career moving forward. Everybody, it was very cool, you know, my first big opportunity with my career as a young actor all those years ago, the 80s I'm talking about, That's the only time you'll hear me admit it. But it was a big, good opportunity. It was a good show. We ran it for a couple of months. And they had another show coming in the space. They had another show coming in space. I'm going to decline this phone call coming in while we're on the air. They declined to keep it much further, what I'm saying. And we did show a couple of months. It could have run longer. And, you know, it was time for it to go. They had another coming into space, but we could have moved to a larger theater. And we tried to uptown, to a theater uptown in Harlem that one of the people that was working with the show was working at the theater at the time. And we ran for a short time up there, and then that was it. But the experience of Jonan was fantastic. Its run was us to the next level. Spike Lee came to see the show. I met John Hannah Terrell, who, like I said, was in Got to Have It. That's how he met Spike, or what brought Spike's attention. And Spike was just out of Columbia, NYU Film School. They were relatively recent film school graduates, him and Ernest, in the photography department, did the DP, director of photography, track they have, and Spike actually directed it. So they were recently done Joe's Heads Die. Heads, I believe, was the short feature film that he did. I think the story is that he won a student Oscar for this movie, maybe, and it got a lot of recognition. So this film, he was looking for people for, which is how I met him. It was a movie that was done before She's Gotta Have It. She's Gotta Have It probably would not been done had this movie been done. And so we're at the Public Theater. We do the play. We're getting all this. Also, while at the same time, Cosby Show had been on the air, and it said that they were looking for a spinoff for Lisa Bonet. Some of the writers came to see our show one night. You know, I mean, not the most unique idea, Black College, but I'm just saying, some of them came to see our show. So it's getting ready to be time for me to jump off. I'm going to tell you what the project was. Started my relationship with Spike Lee in another episode of just a few of my stories. But I'm just up late, man. I wanted to talk some things on my mind. Sometimes life gets challenging, and you need to stop, take stock, reassess, you know, your direction, and rejuvenate. I'm going to jump off right now because you hear the lady counting me down. But I wonder if you guys could hear that. Probably so, right? But anyway, thanks for listening. If somebody's out there listening, I'm using my little GarageBand sound effect. I kind of like this little riff here, though. It's kind of cool. So I'm going to jump off. Check me again. And don't forget, the next time that we get to another episode, just a few of my stories, I'm going to pick up where I left off and tell you about my association bike and how that started. And we'll keep going. All right? Ghost. Go to bed. You're just late. Or if you're up, don't go to bed. All right. Peace.